Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back, I should say, to the Political Cesspool radio program. It is a New Year's Eve special edition. Saturday evening, December 31st, I'm your host, James Edwards, AM 1380 WLRM Radio, downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a worldwide audience of Political Cesspool fans at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're so busy tonight after missing last week to take off Christmas Eve to be with our families, we really need 6 hours tonight. We need 6 hours of radio just to catch up. But alas, we only have three, so I'm not going to waste another second. I want to thank Keith Alexander, as I always do, for his incredible contributions to the show during tonight's first hour. I want to remind you again that coming up in the third hour, we have movie star Sonny Landham. You know him from a lot of the blockbuster films in the 1980s, including Predator, his iconic role in Predator, and in 48 Hours. He's worked with a lot of Hollywood A-listers. He's going to be taking us behind the scenes on some of his hottest sets, and a fun third hour that you'll all look forward to. But first, we've been giving saturation coverage to the Ron Paul campaign on the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, the last few days, specifically because now that he stands to be the one to beat in the GOP primary field, Ron Paul is the latest racist in America. In fact, he's America's most notorious racist this year. But is he a racist at all? And what does the word racist mean in this day and age? Here to help us break it all down is my co-host from the very beginning, Bill Rowland. Bill, what do you make? Like I said, so many stories with Ron Paul. We're going to do our best to cover them all. What do you make in a nutshell of what's going on right now?
Tonight, NPR reported that the caucus race in Iowa is neck and neck between Ron Paul and Mitt Romney. So for the first time in a national news coverage that I know of the Iowa caucuses, NPR has come forward and said, no, this is a two-man race now. And they no mention of Gingrich, no mention of the other contenders. It's a Ron Paul versus Mitt Romney race. And NPR also speculated that the enthusiasm of the Ron Paul voters may very well turn the tide and put him way ahead of Romney. But what we see here is an absolute dramatic change in the Republican race for a presidential nominee. Now it's down between two men. And as you have mentioned on the blog, James, so far, Gingrich nor Perry is on the ballot in Virginia.
And there's no so far to it. There won't be. I mean, that the deadline's come and gone. There's only going to be two people with the infrastructure to have enough wherewithal to get the signatures needed to be on the ballot in Virginia, and you know who those are, Romney and Paul. The other people didn't even have enough campaign structure to make it on the ballot in a very big Republican state.
I understand that Rick Perry has filed a lawsuit to try to get on the ballot, but that is probably a forlorn hope on his part. Rick Perry is really, I don't think, has much of a chance of getting on the ballot. But if Ron Paul wins Iowa, goes into Virginia strong, and wins there, then the momentum may be too big to stop. There's speculation. Now, you'll notice that for some time there was talk that the Iowa caucuses were being sort of put to the background, and there was already talk about the New Hampshire caucus and the New Hampshire vote. But now that's gone silent because Ron Paul is picking up speed in New Hampshire. And the one thing the press does not want to do is give him positive coverage. Now, you mentioned the racist allegations that were leveled against Ron Paul, and those allegations have pretty much burned out. They appeared on some left-wing blogs and some left-wing publications, but did not take on any momentum in the national press.
The accusations of him being a racist obviously is national news. What you're talking about, Bill, I think, is the accusations that he came on this radio program in 2006. Now, that didn't gain traction above and beyond the left-wing blogs. But, of course, the newsletter talk and the talk of him being a racist is very much national news. In fact, if you Google Ron Paul, that's the only thing you'll read right now.
Well, I know it hasn't gained any traction, I don't think, with the voters. I think that they see this as a ploy. There is simply no fingerprints. Ron Paul fingerprints on those newsletters. As we know, many of them were written by Lou Rockwell, who has been on this show. But, you know, once again, you know, newsletters go out that politicians don't read. They have staff. These staffs do the writing. These staffs are also responsible for scheduling media coverage or interviews. And so I'm not a bit surprised that Ron Paul would not have known about these newsletters. But even if he did, you know, from our perspective, it is that he has a racially conscious view of America, which is going to be important in turning around the quasi-Marxist regime that's currently being built in this country. You know, Ron Paul is the only one who has pointed out the violations of the Constitution and how the big government has virtually overrun our liberties. And this is the message that's getting through to especially young people who are going to colleges and finding reverse discrimination is the standard procedure of colleges, that whites are being pushed out of positions and losing jobs because of these preferences. And it's young people who are most impacted by this. So I don't think that the accusations that he's a racist are going to deter them in the least. And I think they're the ones who have an open mind as to, you know, the real racial realities in this country.
Yeah, and Bill, if I could interject, again, if you believe that Ron Paul was behind those newsletters and you read what was said, I mean, again, some of it was, as other people have said this week in the media who are on our side, a little over the top. I mean, one of the passages was the riots in L.A. The L.A. riots ended because the blacks had to go pick up the welfare checks. We all know, again, as others have said, those ended because the National Guard had to be called in. So some of it was hyperbole, a little bit over the top, but nevertheless, there wasn't anything, and again, you're taking two or three passages out of 20 years worth of Ron Paul newsletters, and this was something that happened 22 years ago, and they're picking up on these things, and they're disseminating it everywhere, but none of it could even hold a candle to the kind of content that could be found in any black comedian's shtick, you know, and if you go to, Chris Rock or Richard Pryor, I mean, you know, none of it holds a candle to that. Anyway, that's if you believe that Ron Paul wrote it. Of course, the truth is, according to Paul, is that he didn't write them, he disavows them, and that's it. But the media is not letting that be it. Of course, we put up that very obnoxious interview at thepoliticalcesspool.org when this was all breaking. I, of course, welcomed Ron Paul to the club of being falsely accused of this, that, and the other, racism, white supremacy. We saw the obnoxious interview with CNN where they wouldn't, as many times as he answered the question, they kept asking it. And then he finally had to walk out. And of course, there's much more to it. We'll be talking about what the GOP plans to do if Ron Paul wins Iowa. And a very good article, Bill, that we have posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week gives you the answer. It's an outstanding piece that was posted up at the Buchanan website, and basically they're going to do what they're doing. They're going to try to discard him and discredit him as a racist and as a bigot and as a homophobe and this, that, and the other. They're going to try to crush him as they did Buchanan after his win in 1996 in New Hampshire. A very good piece. Again, because of the time constraints tonight, because we have so much to cover in so little time, I can't read it all for you right now, but go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and read the article entitled GOP Will Take Off the Gloves If, or should I say when, Ron Paul wins Iowa. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get back to the sage commentary of our co-host Bill Rowland right after these words.
Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family. My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, you know, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally, it affects you. And they always try to do the right thing because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, it's Dennis Daly. Now that the world is electronically interconnected and there are microphones and cameras everywhere, we seem to be inundated with news. News from the street, where people are commenting about the economy.
Corporations have grasped control of our government, and we would like it back.
A lot of the news comes from the halls of Congress.
I guess Republicans think if the economy improves, it might help President Obama.
Police stories and stories of tragedy make up a big part of the news.
Other responding officers who arrived saw the suspect, what they thought was the suspect vehicle, leaving the area.
And, of course, a steady flow comes from the White House.
We want to get some infrastructure built in this country. We think that putting construction workers back to work is important.
But you know, a lot of news comes from a lot of other places, and a lot of it doesn't get reported. That's why I'm here, Monday through Friday, with the news you might not hear anywhere else, from Liberty News Radio.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I feel like we're operating at a frenzied pace here because, again, it is such a busy show. We were off last week because of Christmas Eve, and we've got so much to talk about. By the time we come on the air with you next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Iowa caucuses will have come and gone, and we'll know who will win that pivotal, my goodness, things are going so fast tonight I can't even get my words out, that first contest in the Republican primary. So it's a big show tonight, and again, we're going to have some fun with Sonny Landham in the third hour, but first, you know, we're talking with Bill Rowland about everything going on with Ron Paul. They for the first, I don't know what, 9-10 months of this campaign, they tried to write him off as a kook. They tried to just say he was a non-factor, a second or third tier candidate. Now that he is the GOP front runner, you're getting the accusations of racism that we know comes to every white person that engages himself in the political process. The modern day definition of a racist is anyone who publicly disagrees with a liberal. And now that they haven't been able to stop Ron Paul with anything else, they go to their tried and true ace in the hole, false accusations. Again, we've been covering it extensively. Ron Paul labeled a racist, but still projected to win in Iowa. Talking a little bit about what's going to happen after he does win Iowa, how the GOP are going to take off the gloves using Pat Buchanan's, what they did to Pat in 1996 as the blueprint. They're going to hit Ron Paul even that much harder. Gingrich and Perry, as Bill Rowland mentioned, failed to qualify for the ballot. I mean, my goodness, they all failed to qualify except for Romney and Paul. It's shaping up to be very interesting. Bill, I was 16 years old when Pat had his best chance at the White House, so I wasn't quite involved in politics yet. I learned about that one after the fact. So as far as I'm concerned, being 31 years old now, this is the most interesting presidential race that I've ever had the opportunity to be involved in. But Bill, back over to you.
Almost certainly, Ron Paul's showing in Iowa, if he's neck and neck with Mitt Romney, and Mitt Romney wins, the thing to remember is the delegates will be divided up according to the vote. So, you know, even a close second, Ron Paul's going to pick up a lot of delegates. He's going to pick up a lot of the caucus vote. So I think it's going to be, I think he's going to win by a substantial margin. That's what I truly believe. And I think one thing that's deflecting some of this commentary about Ron Paul and some of the speculation about, you know, where he's been and what he's written and so forth, is being counterattacked by Ron Paul supporters. The one thing that's different about Ron Paul's supporters versus Gingrich or Romney or any of the others is that they're passionate. And they're strident. They speak their minds. And I'm almost positive that when these things come up in the media, that they get on the ball and they start to, you know, write to the networks. They flood the networks with emails and commentary. And I think that that's giving the networks, the major news outlets, some pause when they attack Ron Paul. The other thing is, the mainstream Republicans are really afraid of him. And this probably goes without saying, is that Paul has held up the alternative. He says, I'm not nominated. I'm going to run on a third-party ticket. And that will surely demolish the Republicans' chances for picking up the White House in 2012. So Ron Paul has a powerful weapon in his threat to run as an independent candidate in 2012. The Republicans know this, and it's put them in a real quandary. It's put them in a real state of anxiety and a dilemma, because they can't attack him and all gang up on him, because if he leaves the race, he's going to start campaigning as an independent immediately, you know, if they've driven him out. So, you know, he's a unique candidate in the sense that he's running as the Republican nominee, trying to get the nomination. But if that fails, he'll run as an independent and demolish the Republicans' chances. He's literally a time bomb for the Republican Party in a sense. Go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you and I were fantasizing about this prospect during a telephone call we had in advance of the show a couple of days ago. No doubt about it. If Ron Paul does not win the Republican primary, he could very easily say, I believe he has already said he is not going to seek re-election in Congress to focus his entire efforts on this, you know, final presidential bid. Now, so without having to worry about a congressional seat to lose, he could easily say he's leaving the Republican Party, forming an independent campaign, and at the very least, he will clearly take enough to crush any hopes the Republicans have at beating Obama. Now, does he say, if he loses the Republican primary, listen, you give me the vice presidency or this is what's going to happen? I don't know if he would want the vice presidency. The vice presidency is pretty much just a honorary position, unless the president dies, and how often does that happen? But he could certainly say that. And if they didn't give it to him, they would be signing their own death warrant as far as the 2012 race is concerned. Or he could, if he loses the, you know, if he loses the primaries, he could do that, even if they did it, just to spite him. I don't know, Bill, but as you said, he's the only candidate that wields this power.
He's the most powerful Republican candidate that I think has come along that I can think of in memory, because he does have that threat to hang over the Republican Party, that he could ruin their chances if he's not nominated. And I don't know of another Republican candidate who's ever been able to do that, to say that. But I think that these racism accusations are going to go away. One, people are tired of hearing them, frankly. And all Ron Paul has to say is, well, would you still call me a racist if I joined Jeremiah Wright's church? Would I be a racist then? You know, this is the kind of thing that Ron Paul could say, I think, that would diffuse a lot of this. I think it's starting to dwindle away anyway. I think it's beginning to fade. And I think people are just tired of hearing it. They're tired of hearing people being thrown into the belly of the racism beast and watching them consumed by fire. I think they're saying, you know what, we're just not going to listen to that anymore.
Well, but let me ask you this. Do you think that they overreacted and became a little overzealous? Do you think that they got scared and they played their ace too soon? I mean,
I think that's probably true, James. I think they are so desperate to stop Ron Paul's juggernaut that they pulled this out and it, you know, it just went off like a wet firecracker.
And let's just say he wins Iowa now. What are they going to do? Oh, don't forget, you know, the week before New Hampshire, don't forget about those newsletters. Let's say he does well in New Hampshire. Then they go into Super Tuesday.
I think what they'll do is, I think that they realize that this constant negative campaigning is having a detrimental effect on the race as a whole, and is not making Obama look any better. So I think what they're going to do is they're going to go back to, oh, well, how wonderful Mitt Romney is and what a great candidate he would be. He would unite the country. He would go, he would do this and that. I think it's going to be a Mitt Romney, love fest. And they're going to portray him as being this great guy and, you know, family man and so forth to try to stop the Ron Paul momentum. But I don't think it's going to work, because I think once the Ron Paul supporters get the picture that Ron Paul could actually win this thing, I think they're going to be much more enthusiastic and outgoing than Mitt Romney supporters. I think they're going to get out there and campaign their hearts out. And I think it's going to make all the difference.
Bill,
and the percentage of people who vote in for presidential primaries is traditionally very, very low, and so there are not people passionate enough about Mitt Romney to brave weather or anything else to go out and ensure that he gets the nomination.
You're talking about 3-5% of Republican voters go and vote in a primary. Bill, we got 30 seconds left. I know you're only with us for 2 segments tonight. I want to wish you and your family a great and happy new year. Look forward to working with you in 2012 and beyond. It's already been 7 years we've been on the show, going into 2012. Final word for you this segment.
The final word is, this is the most important presidential race this country has ever had. It's all win, all lose. If Romney gets in, it's going to be business as usual, and the country's going to continue to slide downward. The establishment knows that the real threat to their power is Ron Paul, and he's the only threat to their power.
Bill, we'll talk to you again next week after the Iowa caucuses. Interesting times ahead. It's a great time to be on the air.
And, Happy New Year, Jay.
Happy New Year, buddy. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk more Ron Paul in the segment to come. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I want to thank Bill Rowland for his contributions to the show in the last couple of segments as we have been talking about Ron Paul. Been talking a lot about Ron Paul here on the show and, of course, on our website, too, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It seems as though every other story concerns Ron Paul in some shape or form, as he's getting hit with the same brush that we all get hit with if we involve ourselves in politics. It has become absolutely incredible. Everybody in America is a racist. Did you know that? Anyone who has ever publicly disagreed with a liberal is a racist. And if you're white, well, you're a racist no matter what, but you're a really big racist if you say anything that liberals don't like, and so therefore Ron Paul gets these baseless accusations hurled at him. As I said in the top of the first hour, even Kelly Clarkson now, the original winner of American Idol, pop singer, had a lot of success over the last few years. She's a young girl, cute girl, southern girl from Texas, late 20s, I believe. And she made a very simple tweet on Twitter saying that she supports Ron Paul. And now the entire media is dogpiling her as a racist, even though she is a social liberal. Absolutely incredible. Everybody's a racist. Well, speaking of Ron Paul and racism, of course, very few people in this country have been subjected to more attacks than yours truly, because I dare say that I am, yes, in fact, pro-white. I love my people. I'm proud of my heritage. I want to apologize for it. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to back down. And so I have really, over the last 7 years that I've been on the airwaves, suffered the worst that the left could offer. And taking it all in stride, with your support, we laugh it off. We keep on going and we keep on growing. But this week, even we found ourselves injected into the Ron Paul racism hysteria. I woke up the other day, the day after Christmas it was, to a flurry of emails from various national media outlets, all asking me whether or not Ron Paul had appeared on my radio program for an interview in 2006. Well, why would they ask that? Well, because, in fact, Ron Paul was scheduled to be on our radio program in 2006. Now, we posted an announcement to that effect after he was after the interview was arranged by his campaign manager. Now, it was his, I guess, just one of his handlers then, but Jesse Benton, who is currently Ron Paul's campaign manager, did set up an interview with the political cesspool and Ron Paul back in 2006. The only thing is, the interview ended up not taking place, not because they didn't want to come on the show or wouldn't come on the show, but because, unlike some people who have used lame excuses, they actually had a legitimate one, and it just never did get rescheduled, because at the time, I mean, this was 06. It would have been nice to have Ron Paul on, but this was before his 2008 candidacy and certainly long before 2012. And so it didn't happen, but it was booked, and they found out that we had announced that he was going to be coming on. They just didn't know the rest of the story. They didn't know if the interview had ever taken place. So all of these news outlets email me wondering, did Ron Paul come on? Did Ron Paul come on? You see, they're scared to death of him. They're desperately trying to cast him as a racist, just as they've tried desperately for years to cast me as a racist, despite my very mainstream credentials. In recent days, as we've been talking about, an increasing number of reports have been issued in an attempt to accuse Paul of all sorts of things. And interestingly enough, the harder they hit him, the higher he climbs in the polls and the more desperate they become. Anyway, they were scrounging around, the media was, trying to find out if Paul had actually talked to me in 2006, because you remember what they did with Buchanan. But see, they never learn. They never learn that unless you grovel, unless you apologize, you totally turn their crazy attacks against them. You know, they tried to hit Buchanan for coming on this show, and Pat's completely defended my show, myself, and our work on National Public Radio and anyone else who ever asked him about it. And he ended up selling a lot of books as a result of the interview here. That's if Ron Paul had come on the show, that's all he would have had to have done. But again, as it turns out, he didn't come on. But just the fact that he was booked, just the fact that he nearly came on the show, apparently was enough for them to add that as another arrow into their quiver of proof that Ron Paul is a racist. And I'm telling you, you want to know what hatred is. You want to know what bigotry is. You read some of the stuff on the left-wing blogosphere about Ron Paul nearly coming on this show, and you will know what true hatred sounds like and reads like, and it's nothing like you've ever heard us say. But again, folks, I got to beat this into your head. We all know that racist is just a liberal code word for any white man who doesn't hate himself and his family, for anyone who disagrees with the liberal. I don't consider myself to be a racist, but as I said a second ago, I am unequivocally pro-white in my political outlook and feel as though European Americans should have the same right to advance our unique group interests and political issues, just like the minorities do. The NAACP is pro-black, AIPAC is pro-Jewish, yet they are not negatively stigmatized. This is one of the most transparent hypocrisies that has ever been. I believe in equal rights for all, special privileges for none, and that apparently earns one the white supremacist moniker these days. But for all of those who were wondering, and apparently in the media there were many of them, Ron Paul did not come on this show. So as I told them in a blog posting at thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can spin that however you wish, but be sure to make this clear. The Political Cesspool radio program proudly endorses Ron Paul as president of the United States. And again, we will continue to cover this all the way through the primaries with Iowa coming up. Again, folks, becoming increasingly clear that it's either going to be Romney or Paul that's going to walk away with that GOP nomination. Bill Rowland was talking about it, and we made mention of it before. They are the only candidates to qualify on certain ballots, including the Republican stronghold of Virginia. Other so-called top-tier candidates like Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry didn't make the cut. Folks, this is a huge story. And after not making the ballot in Virginia, a pouting Newt Gingrich went on CNN to say that he would not vote for Ron Paul should the Texas congressman become the party's nominee. Indeed, Newt Gingrich said Tuesday that he would not vote for Ron Paul if Republican voters made him the GOP nominee. That speaks right to the heart of what establishment neoconservatives are all about. Gingrich said Ron Paul is out of line with Republicans for his stance on Israel, saying we should take an America First foreign policy. He's taking George Washington's approach is out of line with trash, jumped up white trash like Newt Gingrich and some of these other folks. Gingrich went on to say that Paul's views are outside of the views of every decent American, saying that if you're a decent American, you wouldn't support Ron Paul. Well, I want the decent Americans out there for once to have a chance to vote for someone that has their best interests at heart. Now, I know Ron Paul was running in 2008 as well. Didn't obviously nearly have the kind of momentum then that he does now. We're going to see what decent Americans want, Newt Gingrich, and I can tell you, you certainly aren't a decent American by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, Newt Gingrich, it's been a rough week for Newt. Now he has to answer questions about what he would do if Paul becomes the nominee, because certainly no one's talking about the chances of him becoming the GOP nominee anymore. And not even being able to make the ballot. You know, when I was working for Pat Buchanan, you think it's hard for a Republican to get on the ballot in some of these states, try getting an independent candidate on the ballot. Pat Buchanan was on the ballot in all 50 states. Now, I can tell you, if Pat Buchanan, with the kind of, salt-of-the-earth campaign we ran in 2000 when he was with the Reform Party, if he could qualify in all 50 states, listen, folks, no reason a guy like Gingrich shouldn't, unless there is just no one there behind him. But anyway, we're going to see what happens with Gingrich. We're going to see what happens with Perry, with Paul. And we're going to find out very, very quickly. Folks, we're going to take a break here, but first I want to tell you, coming up, we're going to put down our swords here for just a minute. Oh, and by the way, I pinned a letter to Ron Paul on the website that you can go check out in response to all of this loose connection to the cesspool that there was. Gave him some advice on how he should respond to the questions being asked of him about this radio program this week. Anyway, enough politics for tonight. Now we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some fun because it's New Year's Eve. This is a special New Year's Eve broadcast. We'll be back on the Political Horse next week, the first show of the new year. But now, for the rest of the program tonight, when we come back, I'm going to give you the top 10 countdown. The top 10 countdown for the political cesspool in 2011. And then in the third hour, we're going to talk movies with our friend, longtime friend, Sonny Landham. Sonny Landham's coming up right after these words. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Before we get down to the top 10 moments of the political cesspool in 2011, I got to say one more thing about this whole Ron Paul thing. Some of the news stories out there, Ron Paul's white supremacist radio connection. And of course, the big story there was that he almost, this is how desperate they are, that he almost appeared on this show, which is far from white supremacist. But because we say we're pro-white, they say that's the same thing as being white supremacist, because we're proud of who we are and we want to have a political voice for our family. That means we hate everybody else. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. But let me just, again, the pathetic transparency of the hypocrisy that's in play here. The people that are calling us white supremacists because we're pro-white, one of the organizations is called News for Black America, part of the Black Planet Universe, and they have nothing but black commentators on this website. They feature stories entitled Tweeting While Black. What's some of the other stuff here? Hey, travel tips for black Americans, 10 blacks that we're proud of in 2011. I mean, all of the stuff is completely ethnocentric. In other words, they do the exact same thing that we do, but it's okay for them to do it, but it's evil and racist and wicked for us to do it. Folks, that is pathetic. Pathetic. I am all for them having, you know, black news channels and being proud of being black or whatever, you know, top 10 black people. They can run all these stories they want because I think that's natural. I think that's healthy. But how dare you do it for yourself and then claim us of being some sort of nefarious creature for doing the exact same thing that you're doing? I could never live that hypocritical of a life. Oh, and another thing they got on here, the top 10 racist supporters of Ron Paul. You know, you want to know the kind of people that they put on this list? Again, racist means white person. A racist is any white person that disagrees with a liberal. They got this list of the top 10 racist supporters of Ron Paul. High on that list is Chuck Baldwin, the Christian pastor, Constitution Party presidential candidate last go around. Give me a break. Give me a break. Anyway, it would be laughable if so many people didn't take it seriously, but increasingly more and more people are not. All right, enough of that. We're going to have fun now. I promised you we were going to have fun here to close out the show, and let's do it now. We're very proud of the banner year that 2011 was. The Political Cesspool radio program, with the help of our friends here at the Liberty News Radio Network and our owners here at the local affiliate here in Memphis, we continue to stand alone in the English-speaking world as the sole mainstream media entity dedicated solely to the advancement of our people. When you're listening to the voice of the American right, you're listening to the Political Cesspool radio program. And I was talking with the fella who owns 1380 WLRM, which is, again, our flagship station. And we were talking the other day, and he just said, you know, if you'd have told me in 2004, after your first night on the air, that you were going to go on to become nationally syndicated, that you were going to go on to be a regular commentator on CNN, that you were going to go on to do anything more than last a few weeks and fizzle out, you could have bet any amount of money and won it from me. He said, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen like that. And it's happened for us, ladies and gentlemen, thanks to your support. Thanks to your contributions, to your prayers, and everything else. And of course, again, you can't give enough credit. I can't give enough credit to the management and the ownership here in Memphis of the local affiliates. And then, of course, with Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, and the people out there in Utah. We all work together to make this show possible. And if any of those engines were to fail, if any of the pistons in those engines were to fail, it wouldn't be the same, and it couldn't go on. And so it takes us all pulling together. And again, we've done so again for another memorable year. And so let us now look back at some of the great moments of 2011 with this top 10 countdown. Number 10, our annual Confederate History Month series in April. Each year we make a point to showcase Confederate History Month in April, and we did so again in 2011 by interviewing a litany of pro-South figures and by talking about what the South means to us and why we go to such great lengths to celebrate its traditions. It's always on the top 10 list, and this year it is again, our annual Confederate History Month series in April. Number 9 on the top 10 list for the show this year was getting the American Renaissance invite. Now, this is an event that actually hasn't even happened yet, but the wheels are in motion, and that's enough for it to earn a place on our top 10 list. As you know, I've done countless radio, television, and newspaper interviews over the years, but there's nothing quite like giving a speech, a live speech, where I'm able to meet with the people who make my work possible. In October, a couple of months ago, I was invited to speak at the forthcoming American Renaissance Conference, which will be held in March of 2012. I hope to see you there. Well, number eight on the list, as we move from an event, the AMRIN Conference, that is still forthcoming to one that is currently ongoing, is the item we've been talking about all hour, the loose, desperate connection that the left has drawn between Ron Paul and the Political Cesspool radio program to try to damage his chances. We'll gladly take the free publicity as we always do. Number eight on the top 10 list, Ron Paul and the Political Cesspool radio program. Number seven, you might have missed this, but the Political Cesspool was plugged in a best-selling book earlier this year. Jerome Corsi, the New York Times best-selling author, who himself has made a few appearances on our show. Earlier this summer, he released another blockbuster book, Where is the Birth Certificate?, and was kind enough to give me credit for helping him out with the book. It was the Political Cesspool radio program, you'll remember, that first interviewed Tim Adams, a former Hawaii elections clerk that played a central role in the Obama birth certificate scandal that unveiled last year. And this year, we got mentioned in the book for it. Number six on the top 10 list of what happened in the Political Cesspool this year, Hutton Gibson's annual appearance. Mel Gibson's dad, considered to be a hard interview to land, called the Political Cesspool his home away from home during his most recent appearance, which occurred this past July. Hutton Gibson is a regular guest of the Political Cesspool, and over the years has generated for us an avalanche of media coverage based upon his candid answers to political incorrect questions. We're proud to be able to call him a friend. Number five. Now we're down to the top five of what happened in the Political Cesspool radio program. Working with Warner Brothers to promote Gods and Generals. Do you remember that? That happened earlier this year. It's not exactly every day that a major movie studio calls you and asks you to partner with them on a project, but that's exactly what happened in May when Warner Brothers touched base with me to see if I'd work with them to promote the commemorative re-release of the Gods and Generals DVD. We eagerly agreed to do so because Gods and Generals stands alone among films favorably depicting the Confederacy and rightly casting Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson as heroes. Number five, working with Warner Brothers to promote Gods and Generals. Number four, tonight's show. Tonight's show all the way up to number four. Why? Well, because of our guest coming up, Sonny Landham. You don't often get to work with a movie studio, and you don't often get to interview movie stars, but we're going to be doing that. And because of the rich history we've shared with Sonny over the years, any show he appears on is going to be one for the books in any given year. Sonny Landham's interview tonight, which is coming up in just a few minutes, makes the top 10 list in advance. Now the top three. Now it's really getting thick here. Ladies and gentlemen, another interview with CNN, another major interview with CNN, took place earlier this year. As you may recall, CNN did a huge story in March, which asked an important question. Are white people racially oppressed in contemporary America? They came to me for the answer. This is the latest chapter in my long-standing relationship with CNN that dates back to 2007. Number two on the top 10 list for TPC in 2011, my lecture at the National Press Club. Truly remarable day. I had the opportunity in September to embark upon a aggressive three-week speaking tour, which was highlighted by a presentation that I delivered at the prestigious National Press Club in Washington, D.C. And number one on the top 10 list of TPC's moments in 2011 has to be, I don't even need to go into detail, two words, Pat Buchanan, the man who returned to TPC in October to promote his new book. The 30-minute interview spawned 30 days of national media coverage for Pat, myself, and this show. Number one thing to happen to us this year was Pat Buchanan's interview and all the press that followed. Thanks again, fans, for making another wonderful year possible for us. As we've said before, with the dawn of a new year now upon us, we appreciate the promise of hope that comes with it. We here in Memphis at the Political Cesspool Radio Program promise you another year of programming filled with pleasant surprises, thrilling accomplishments, and, of course, the razor-tongued commentary and superb guests that you've come to expect from our show. In other words, we've got some pretty big plans in store for you in 2012. But first, we encourage you to stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, for the third and final hour tonight as we ring in the new year with actor, Sunnyland. And we wanted to do something fun during the final hour of the last show of the year. And that being said, we're doing so with our old friend Sunnyland, who's going to be with us in just a couple of moments. We're going to be going behind the scenes, talking to him about movie experiences, working with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and so many more A-listers. In just a moment, the man who starred in a lot of blockbusters in the 80s is going to be with us. You got a question for Sunny? Email it in right now. We'll try to read a few. Media@thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you've got a question, we'll try to read it on the air. Media@thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm James Edwards, and we'll take a break right after this.